You are listening to the audio version of the Bitcoin.com weekly news show with Roger Ver. For the full experience, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Hello, everyone. It's that time of the week again. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2019. We have another action-packed week of all sorts of exciting updates in the world of Bitcoin Cash here at Bitcoin.com. As usual, I'm Roger Ver, CEO of Bitcoin.com. Long-time participant. Asuka, yeah. So, and people loved having these two on the supplementary episode earlier this week so much. So we have Emil Oldenburg, our CTO, back again. And as I said, the resident genius, but your official title is Director of...
Developer Services and Head of R&D.
There you go. So Gabriel Cardona. Right. So awesome, awesome team with an awesome list of stuff that's happened just within the last week here. At the very top of our list, because I do think it's one of the big, big, big power plays coming for Bitcoin Cash. Mm-hmm. Cash Shuffle.
Yeah.
What do you guys know about Cash Shuffle?
So I can...
I know a lot. At a loss for words.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know, like privacy is a really powerful paradigm shift that we can leverage to set Bitcoin Cash apart. You know, privacy is a basic human right, and privacy has been in the Bitcoin ecosystem for a while. It's gone through several iterations. So the first generation of this technology was coin mixers or tumblers. So the idea here is you have some coins, somebody else has some coins, somebody can set up a third party and you send your coins to them. They can create a bunch of little addresses, send out the coins to all those, consolidate them into one, do it again, and then send them out to receive addresses, and that'll give you obfuscation. The problem with this technology is that you have to trust a third party and that they could basically take your keys at any time. And you have to pay a fee for this, and as we know...
Or they could report back how they shuffled it, and they could just be a honeypot for, like, right, you know, some law enforcement agency in a tyrannical country of some place.
Sure, and as the blocks got full on BTC, we saw that the price spiked and people had to shut down these services. So the next generation of that is CoinJoin, where people can take inputs from multiple transactions and create one jumbo transaction, and then pay out to the different receive addresses. And the problem there is that people in the join know about other people's addresses. So after that was Coin Shuffle, which is basically like Coin Join, but it adds an encryption layer so that no party inside the shuffle knows about the outputs. And that is actually pretty solid, but the problem, it works really great if you already know the inputs that you want to mix or shuffle, but Cash Shuffle is the next generation where basically they provide a service which can connect different transactions which need to be shuffled. Yeah. So this is created by Jonal Fuchball and ZQuestZ.
Two superstars, yeah.
And more importantly, like this work will work best if more people use it. So Bitcoin.com, we will do.
We're adding it to our wallet.
We're gonna add it to our wallet, and we want people to use it. But we're also gonna help out as well and take our services because, like, we have a couple of hot wallets for our services. So
plug
them
everywhere.
Into Cash Shuffle and. Help everyone because privacy is important.
Oh, yeah.
Bitcoin is not anonymous, it's pseudonymous. Mm-hmm. And we are a lot of companies out there that want to track your coins. Yeah. So
and so a lot of people can think, oh, anonymous, that sounds bad. But like if you look at the fundamental underlying characteristics of what makes money money, fungibility. Mm-hmm. You have to have fungibility for money. So like tobacco, right, has been used as money in the past because every couple of strings of tobacco are basically the same as every other one. Well, the same has to be true of Bitcoins. Every Bitcoin Cash has to be the same as every other Bitcoin Cash where it's not good money, and this technology enables that.
Right.
And it's going to be fun to roll it out to our 3.5 million wallet users. Then we kind of have two wallets going on at Bitcoin.com now. We have the Bitcoin.com wallet that everybody knows and loves, but you know, Gabriel's been super busy with the Badger wallet.
Right. And so, yeah, as far as I know, this is already live in the...
Badger.bitcoin.com is the Badger wallet.
Sure, yeah. So Cash Shuffle, I believe, is already live, at least on the GitHub repo of Electron Cash. And so you can try this out today. And then ZQuestZ told me on Twitter they're creating a JavaScript library. So it's at the top of our list of features coming in Badger Wallet for sure.
Did he give us an ETA for the JavaScript library?
I know that they're doing, they're paying a third-party company to do a professional pen test on the entire protocol and the implementation. So I think they're wrapping it up. I suspect it'll probably be within the next couple of months because this is, you know, moving very
sooner quickly. Is better than later, though, right?
Thank you
for whoever's tipping us on that. We should remind everybody, you can watch us live on Twitch. So every Friday at about 5 p.m. We were a little bit late again today.
Yeah.
We'll stream the show live as we record it. So we'll put a link in the show notes below to our Twitch Twitch channel. So thank you for the candy, whoever sent that out there. I'm guessing it was for Asuka, not for us guys.
Yeah, for me. Happy Valentine's Day.
Where were we at? Cash Shuffle.
Yeah, so coming soon to definitely Badger and the Bitcoin Cash wallet. So
yeah. Another fun thing. Maybe it's even coming to the Samsung
crypto wallet at some point, right?
So Samsung is going to release a crypto wallet in their new S10 phone. S10's coming with a pre-installed hardware wallet called Samsung Knox, a security system which stores blockchain-based private keys. Samsung will also create a crypto wallet with the S10 Samsung Blockchain Key Store app, which is rumored to initially support BTC, Ethereum, of course, and our favorite here because it brings the most economic freedom to the world, Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah.
And again, like, we're not Bitcoin Cash partisans. We're partisans to anything that works and works well to bring more economic freedom to the world. If it works and works well, quick, fast, cheaply, and reliably, we love it. So, and of course, that's Bitcoin Cash today is fast, cheap, and reliable. So,
how's the crypto-related situations in Korea?
Koreans love cryptocurrency, right? I think Korea has more Bitcoin Cash trading than any other country in the entire world.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
You got in the United States or like any other?
I think it's Korea for Bitcoin Cash.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there's Jeju Island, which is trying to be the blockchain valley of the entire Asian Pacific area.
Yeah.
You know, so they're moving fast like Wyoming. We talked about them multiple times, but yeah.
Yeah, last week we talked about Wyoming. This week we'll talk about Jeju Island in Korea. They're really. I got to meet with the governor of Jeju Island in Seoul last year, and I sent him and his entire group up with Bitcoin Cash wallets using the Bitcoin.com wallet, gave them all some so they could see how it worked. And they were like, wow, this is amazing. And then what did a bunch of trolls on the internet do? They complained, you're giving money to them. It's a bribe. It's like, I want to show people how this works so they can see for themselves and become supporters. Like, this is a good thing, not a bad thing. So
yeah, and in the context of the Samsung phone, you know, Samsung is absolutely huge. How many Samsung Android devices out there?
It must be billions. It is the company in Korea. Mm-hmm. It's like everyone is using it, using Samsung phones.
I love my Samsung TV. I hope they like allow me to like pay for like pay-per-view stuff with Bitcoin Cash in my Samsung phone or my Samsung TV.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That seems like a nice fit.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see how it actually will work in practice, because if it's a proper hardware wallet, it means that you can create the private keys and they stay in the phone and you cannot extract them, which is both a blessing
good
and
bad.
A curse. Yeah. So if you lose your phone, you will truly lose your private keys.
But they may have a mnemonic or something similar to a treasure.
It could be that you enter your mnemonic or your private key and it's saved inside a hardware wallet. So if anyone steals your phone, there's absolutely no way they can take your private keys.
Speaking of things that you can't extract the private keys from, like shout out to YubiKey. Like I love YubiKey. If you don't have a YubiKey already, go and buy one. You can buy it with Bitcoin Cash directly. We convinced them to start accepting Bitcoin Cash. Like YubiKeys are awesome. Google Authenticator, you really need to step up your game. And then YubiKey has a Google Authenticator like companion app for sites that don't accept YubiKeys directly. And it actually has the search function where you can search through your giant list of like 2FA codes. Like YubiKey.
But what happens if you lose your YubiKey?
Don't lose your YubiKey.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't lose your phone.
Don't lose it.
I lose my phone all the time when I'm drunk.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. It's one of the bars that accept Bitcoin Cash here in Tokyo.
Yeah, Mezzo.
Yeah, so we were talking about that. So the owner of Mezzo, which is a big nightclub that you've all been to, I think, that accepts Bitcoin Cash. You know the owner personally, is that right?
Yeah, he's very keen to meet you because he has his own crypto-related like Instagram-like project. So
I think we agreed we're going to meet him next week sometime.
Yes,
is that
week.
The plan? So I think, and he owns a bunch of different businesses in Tokyo, is that right? He's quite the entrepreneur, so we're looking forward to spreading even more Bitcoin Cash adoption here in Tokyo. So thank you for that. So
more champagnes can be bought by BCH.
You might lose your cell phone again. Apparently, Elon Musk is getting on board the crypto coin bandwagon. He called the Bitcoin structure is quite brilliant. He said Ethereum seems to have some merit as well. Paper money is going away, and crypto is a far better way to transfer value than pieces of paper. That's for sure. I think that he's right about that. So, and Bitcoin Cash certainly is Bitcoin, as I've made a whole other video outlining that. Bitcoin Cash works great, and we should talk a little bit about this tip bots that are going around on Twitter. There's some Lightning Network tip bot that's just a custodial service. There's some Bitcoin Cash tip bots that are also just custodial services, but like everyone's all excited about custodial services. I think you're missing the entire point if you're excited about custodial services. Like what's the point of a custodial service? Like you've missed the entire point of crypto if you're using custodial services. So
And you know, Elon was, of course, the co-founder of PayPal.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've been trying to solve this problem for 20 years. And I've seen interviews with either him or Peter Thiel, the other co-founder. And one of them were saying, you know, something like Bitcoin is what we wanted early on. We really mm-hmm. did picture like a supranational kind of digital currency. And of course, PayPal didn't ultimately become that. So it doesn't surprise me that Elon would see Bitcoin and say the Bitcoin structure is quite brilliant. He's pretty on it in most areas.
I think if he wasn't too busy building cars and rockets he'd probably be in crypto.
Yeah, and AI. So he has a company called OpenAI, which released a paper last week where they came up with a new natural language engine, and it's so advanced they're not releasing it to the public because they feel like people will use it in nefarious ways.
Wow.
And
you know, the OpenAI is no longer open.
In the past we talked about social media disinformation campaigns, and so now, you know, there's AI engines which can create pictures of people who look very real. They can create natural language. They can map faces to videos. So you really do have to up your awareness when you're dealing with social media because you don't really know. We live in an era where you don't really know, and you can there are companies which will spin up endless number of accounts and they'll dialogue back and forth. So when you're online and you just kind of get hit with endless social media, you have to understand that it can be disinformation campaigns, and you've got to.
It can, and very well maybe, especially if it's about an important topic that people care about, like cryptocurrency.
Yeah, today on Reddit is the video that Roger did about the person who goes into a office.
Yep, a waiting room at a dentist is what
Do you want to tell it?
Yeah, so I... Actually, I made the video. You can tell it. You've seen it. What was your impression there?
Yeah, so basically there's this person who doesn't know that she's part of a control group or she's part of an experiment. She walks into an office and there's maybe like 10 people in there and they're all in on the trick. And she sits down and maybe once 30 or once every 60 seconds a beep happens and everybody stands up. And and she looks around and she's like, what? And it only took three times for the people standing up for her to kind of realize, oh, that's what everybody does when the beep happens. So she stands up. And then one by one, they remove the people, call them back to the doctor to where it's just her. And she continues.
All by herself.
And she continues to do it. And then they start bringing in people who are also not in on the trick one by one, and the whole room fills up and everybody's doing it. And she was able to inherit that behavior from people who were gaming her and then pass it on. And he makes the analogy to a lot of the people today who say Bitcoin Cash can't scale. We need something like Lightning Network. Most of them weren't even around in 2014-15 when the scaling debate happened. They just learned that behavior from social media disinformation campaigns.
And censorship that went on the biggest discussion platforms within Bitcoin. Yeah,
A lot of the like big people now that are like constantly boasting about Lightning Network, they're pretty new. Like, haven't really recognized.
They're brainwashed noobs. Is what they are.
If your Lightning Network node crashes, this was on Reddit.
You lose your money.
Even if you have your mnemonic, you have to had the chain state basically backed up. So again, the user experience is just such a degrading. It's less than what it is in the past and now on Bitcoin Cash.
Or imagine like if we went out on the street here in Tokyo and we said, hey, in fact, I just did it like 20 minutes ago. I set up three brand new people with their very first Bitcoin wallet ever and sent them each some Bitcoin Cash. It literally took them longer to download the wallet than it did to start using it. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to send them Lightning payments, it would take all evening.
Sure.
I don't even know if we still wouldn't finish today because they'd have to sync the whole blockchain, right? It's like they wouldn't get it done until like tomorrow at some point. So it's not even remotely possible. And so like you hear a lot of people bragging about Lightning Network this and Lightning Network that. Like Bitcoin.com onboards more people to Bitcoin Cash in a single day than the Lightning Network has ever onboarded in its entire history. Mm-hmm. Like there's around 6,000 nodes total in Lightning Network. More people download our wallet every single day and set up Bitcoin Cash wallets in the entire history of Lightning Networks.
And you know, in Lightning Network, you literally have to run your own BTC node and your own Lightning node on top of that, and you have to have just the level of tech is way beyond the average person, which is going to steer people to these centralized service like this Tipperbot that everybody's so raging about, or whenever Lightning comes to the Square Bitcoin payment system. And ultimately, that just steers people back into fractional reserve, and you don't have your keys, you don't have your coins.
Not your money. Right. And you missed the whole point of crypto. Yeah.
But I think the people, they're so excited about Lightning because that's their only play, because they know that BTC is not usable. Mm-hmm. So you have two choices. Either you go Bitcoin Cash or you use something else, or you use Lightning Network, because BTC is not feasible.
And to be clear, like I don't think like none of us hate Lightning Network. Like we wish and hope that it would work, but we're very, very skeptical. I've installed I don't even want to call it a wallet. It's like a lot of people say that, like people saying that Bitcoin Cash is Bitcoin, that's a scam. I'll tell you what a scam is. A scam is people calling a cryptocurrency a wallet that's not a wallet. Like there's a bunch of cryptocurrency wallets that aren't wallets. Like they're just custodian bank account things using crypto. So. Not your keys, not your coins. So
that actually leads into I think Coinbase wallet. Speaking of
Because I knew we were going to cover that, I'm wearing one of my Coinbase shirts here today. Yep. If you can read the subtitle
Coinbase
here, it says
accept Bitcoin.
Yeah, they're talking about accepting Bitcoin for payments. I think I got this shirt maybe 2013 or 14. I think Brian or Fred Ersham handed it to me at a conference somewhere. Nice. This used to be their slogan, accept Bitcoin. Why is now Ethereum handling like 1,001 different altcoins and tokens? Mm-hmm. Because the Bitcoin network wasn't allowed to scale. Like Brian Armstrong, the CEO and founder of Coinbase, was one of the biggest voices mm-hmm. saying, hey, we need to allow Bitcoin to scale for the entire world to use it. And then what did he get for that? He got attacked like crazy, so now he's much more quiet. But I don't care. I'm still talking about the truth. We're using these tools to bring more economic freedom to the entire world. Mm-hmm. 1 megabyte or 300 kilobyte blocks don't do that. Like, what is their mentality? They think that we need to restrict the block size so anybody can run a full node mm-hmm. so that they can use custodial wallets? Mm-hmm. Like,
That's like saying we want everybody in the world to run their own Linux server so they can host their own website, which they coded from scratch. Obviously, that's not worldwide
not
scale.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's on the page of notes I gave at the very bottom.
Anyhow, I've downloaded it. It's fantastic. The new Coinbase wallet is an actual wallet. You have your own keys yourself, and they have really, really beautiful like user interface. Like it's clean and clear and easy to understand. And in fact, I sent a screenshot of it to a member of our team the other day and said, hey, we should mimic an online page that we're making, like the payment addresses and whatnot should be mimicking the beautiful simplicity of the Bitcoin, the Coinbase. Mm-hmm. What's it called now? Coinbase
it's
Wallet? Is
wallet.
That just what's called? Wallet? Yeah, it's mm-hmm. great. So fantastic job, Coinbase. Thank you guys for helping build the tools to bring more economic freedom to the world.
Yeah, so it's a user custodial, as he mentioned. It has cache and legacy address formats. It has testnet support, so if you're a developer, that's really awesome. You can test out your app without burning real coins or spinning real coins. It encrypts your private keys. It has planned support for the JSON payment protocol, which, as I understand it, is kind of like another iteration on BIP70. I could be oversimplifying that.
It follows the BIP70 payment protocol, but mm-hmm. Instead of using, the old format was very complicated. So it's just it's a better version of the BIP70, but it basically follows the same protocol.
Yeah, Vin has sent me, I think, 3 private messages with links to it. I apologize, Vin. I've not yet had time to consume it, but he's all about it, so I know something special is happening there. We'd love to see the MAD support for SL tokens, and the SLP tokens, and then wallet.coinbase.com. There you go.
Yeah, and let's get the SLP Bitcoin Cash tokens in the Coinbase wallet. That's fun. We have it in the Bitcoin Badger wallet, mm-hmm. right? Badger.bitcoin.com. We have it on our Block Explorer, and I'm sure more and more. In fact, I know that more and more are already coming. In fact, some big tokens are being launched on Bitcoin Cash, as we in this room know here.
Yeah. So. Yes. Yeah, and we also shout out to Sam from our team who maintains the Explorer. Added SLP token balances this week to the Explorer. So
is that live on the site now?
It is.
Great. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, so you can now go to your cash address and you'll see it converted to an SLP address, and then you can see all of your tokens and your balances. So that's pretty awesome.
That's going to be handy. So another fantastic thing. A lot of people don't know Bitcoin.com has an awesome podcast. I've been on it.
Sure.
Have you been on it, Gabriel?
Have, yes.
Yeah. So Emil, not yet, probably, right?
Not yet.
And Oscar, not yet. No. So I think you two are next.
You do it every week?
I don't do it. No, there's another guy named Matthews that's the host that does an awesome job on that.
Wow.
And he just had like a fantastic, fantastic interview with Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com, one of the biggest movers and shakers of driving cryptocurrency adoption in commerce in the entire world. So his publicly traded company, Overstock.com, was the first $1 billion company to start accepting cryptocurrency payments. So thank you for that, Patrick. I listened to the entire podcast. It was a great, great, insightful podcast. So visit podcast.bitcoin.com to see all of that. And then here's a fun one.
Any coin?
Yeah. What do you think that means?
Any coin.
Yeah, it means they do any coin. What did they add?
Maybe they accept any coins.
And what did they just add to their any coin list?
They just add Bitcoin Cash to their platform.
Yep. So thank you guys to the guys over at AnyCoin for doing that. I especially want to thank Julian, Leonard, and Bram over at AnyCoin for really making that happen. We're really glad you added Bitcoin Cash to the platform. So if you haven't seen it already, head on over to anycoindirect.eu and you can see all the awesome services that they have over there, and allows the user to have full control over their funds. So anycoindirect.eu is that website. So which brings us to Bitcoin Cash merchant adoption thriving all over the world, mm-hmm. but it's especially thriving in, of course, Japan, because Asuka's here spreading the world. Yeah. North Queensland, Australia, there's all sorts of stuff happening. And then another one, leading the one, is Slovenia. Why is it going so well in Slovenia? Thanks to this company called Elipay, E-L-I-P-A-Y. They have an awesome custodial app, but you can send and receive out of it. And the reason it's a custodial app is because, like, they have to deal with all the regulators. They're
but you can spend Bitcoin Cash in more than 270 locations,
oh, wow.
physical shops. Some of these are like normal restaurants and like mm-hmm. coffee shops and like I think some of them are like chain restaurants, like Subway sandwiches and stuff like that.
That's
I visited there in person maybe a couple months ago and had a fantastic time spending my Bitcoin Cash around town. Nice. And the CEO of Alipay here is going to be here in Tokyo here next month. It's almost the end of the month, in March. And so I think there's going to be a lot more big Bitcoin Cash stuff happening thanks to them.
See you soon.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and we should give a shout out to Akane Yoko, who has done a lot of work here.
Oh, she has been so active, isn't she?
She's on ramp many, many merchants, and so, yeah. Thank you, Akane.
Yeah, thank you, Akane, for being awesome. So we should list some of the awesome... Come visit Tokyo if you want to use your Bitcoin Cash. I'm pretty sure there's more Bitcoin Cash accepting merchants now in Japan than BTC accepting merchants, and that's despite the fact that there's some legacy places that still have BTC through a payment processor that launched here in Japan, but there's more independent places accepting Bitcoin Cash than like the big chain stores on BTC still at this point. So some of them are the Village Hostel in Namba, Osaka, Runes Minakami, Good Heavens, Rakan, of course, Yakitori Wine Bar, Ginza Secret. What's Ginza Secret?
I don't know.
Secret.
It's probably a secret.
If you want to find out what the secret is, install the Bitcoin.com wallet app and then click on Maps and head on over to Ginza in Tokyo and you can find out. I kind of feel like I want to go and find out.
Yeah,
what
Ginza sounds interesting, right?
Organic Hair Salon, the Seoul Law Office, Cafe de Peril, Soul Food House I've been to as well. It's fantastic American soul food here in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Two Dogs Tap Room. We really got to give credit to Mike and his team over there. Like, Two Dogs is awesome. If you come to Japan, make sure you head on over to Two Dogs, where you can buy your Bitcoin Cash beer with your Bitcoin Cash and everything else there. So, and Gabriel, because he's such an awesome super genius here, he has an entire list of all the stuff that he got done this week that he wants to go over for all you developers out there.
Yeah, I'll just breeze through these. So basically, we have been doing a lot of work on our rest.bitcoin.com. So anybody who is building an app out there is going to need to interact with the Bitcoin Cash blockchain, obviously. And as we mentioned with asking everybody in the world to spin up their own Lightning node, that's just not practical. And it's the reason that Amazon is able to have, you know, 3/4 of the public web virtualized on their cloud, because most people don't want to maintain their own Linux.
They don't want to run their own Lightning node with a battery backup.
So, you know, people want to be able to offload certain skill sets to teams which can internalize that and make sure they're up to date. So we offer rest.bitcoin.com, which is the entire JSON RPC of Bitcoin Cash over HTTP, and we have a bunch of extra methods where we wrap BitDB and we wrap Insight. So if you're building an app out there, you want to go to rest.bitcoin.com. And we have this pattern where if an endpoint accepts one single item, like if you want to find out the information about one address, you do a GET request. And if you want to find out about 20 addresses, you do a POST request. So I have a list here of 4 more endpoints we've added. Basically, every single one of the endpoints should be able to accept either a single or a bulk. And then because we made that change, and Bitbox is very tightly coupled to rest.bitcoin.com, meaning that if you're building apps with Bitbox, you don't have to do any further setup. It automatically speaks to REST. We updated Bitbox and our SLP SDK to the latest and greatest. And then right before I left here, I ran the numbers, and it looks like there are now 373 SLP tokens on mainnet.
Wow, that's a lot of different tokens.
Yeah, it is, and there's a lot of very exciting projects happening under the scenes. So as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, people are building it now, they're launching it soon. So, you know, 373 tokens, we're good with that. And then the next big one is SLPDB. So BitDB is absolutely huge. Basically, what BitDB is, it's an autonomous crawler which endlessly crawls the blockchain and synchronizes it and then exposes it over a MongoDB. And James Kramer from the SLP team has been working with us to port that over to TypeScript, and we're calling it SLPDB. So basically, this is going to index every single SLP transaction and address and all the tokens. So
just toss it right in a database that's easy for anyone to use.
So right now you can see, you know, how many transactions have happened since the genesis of a token, all the different addresses for a token. So it would be nice to be able to go and say, how many different addresses hold this token? Well, we have that now. What's the total circulating supply? How many have been burned? How many have been minted? So real quick, we've been working with a team who's working on a stablecoin. I'll leave it there, but one of the things they've asked for is the ability to mint tokens. It's very common in tokenomics that a bunch of tokens will be issued and they'll be either burned back, brought back, or for some reason the team will want to burn them to decrease the supply. So I just wanted to be super clear, this doesn't burn the underlying BCH. Because of the way our tokens work, they're just written to that operator, that memo field. Basically, this just creates a new valid Bitcoin Cash transaction and spends those colored coins without creating a new memo field. So you don't burn the BCH. I know whenever Wormhole was the rage the second part of last year, people had it, they tripped up big time about the burning of BCH. This is not burning BCH. So when we say that we're burning the tokens, we're not really burning the underlying BCH. I think that's important. But shout out to James Kramer from the SLP team. He's awesome and he's done a lot of work on that. This is live now. We're testing this internally. The code is open source and we have the URL here, but this should be live. We're going to expose it on rest.bitcoin.com, hopefully by the end of next week. And then that feeds into what we're working on Badger. So one of the most requested features, I know Roger certainly requested it from me a bunch of times.
Over and over.
Yeah, is to show the transaction history. So right now if you go to Badger, you just see your send a transaction and not your receive. And then every time you re-upload Badger to a new version, you lose your existing transaction history. It's not the greatest user experience. So once we have this SLP DB live, we're going to be able to show your Bitcoin Cash and your SLP transaction history and preserve it across updating. So that's very exciting. Hopefully we'll have that live as well. As I mentioned, the SLP balances are live on the Bitcoin Explorer, so shout out to Sam for that. Another thing we've been brainstorming on, and I think we're going to move forward on, is doing a developer-centric YouTube show. So we want to keep it super snappy, 10 minutes or less, just doing a very quick deep dive into something that we offer because we have so many different tools. So we've been brainstorming with that. We've got seven.
Oscar's going to be the host?
Yeah, it is. So sure. I hope you're ready.
I do my best.
Yeah, we're going to be starting this basically. I'll be back in San Francisco the early part of March, and I think we're going to pick it up then. And then today we sent out a link on my Twitter account, and we're going to blast it out to our developer email list. We want to start doing hackathons. Hackathons are incredibly important, important from on-ramping people into the ecosystem, sending signals to the outside world that we have a very healthy development environment, finding deal flow for the next upcoming big app. And so we put together a little Google form, which basically is just judging interest. We want to see how many people are interested, and it's asked what your team name is, what your email is, so we can follow up with you after we've solidified this a little bit more. So that's on my Twitter account. We'll put the link in the box below. So that's what we've been doing on developer services over the last 7 days.
Yeah. Another thing that we're working on in terms of the REST API, we're making it global, so
yes.
So currently the latency is not great, all depending on where you are in the world. So
another thing I've been complaining about for a while.
We're gonna set up servers all over the world and offer our services low latency for everyone to use.
What's the ETA for that to be live for the world?
Soon.
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 Soon means this month.
Yeah, should be. Not in this month. But next
one.
Month.
Well, okay. Soon, please.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we have like a very, very exciting roadmap for our entire development platform. So we have a whole pro tier we're basically building up to. So just recently we set the stage with REST v2.0 to offer authentication tokens. So right now all of our endpoints are rate limited with one request per second. And as I mentioned, we have single and bulk ones. The bulk ones accept 20 at a time and you can do 60 requests a second. So you could basically get the address details or UTXO for 1200 addresses per second. But we want to be able to offer people a pro tier because there are now apps which are hitting that every day.
Wow.
And we want to be able to, they can pay us Bitcoin Cash, we can whitelist their IP address or give them an authentication token and greater throughput.
What are some of the most popular apps that are using Bitbox?
Honest Cash is a big one. Obviously, Let's Trade, which I had mentioned last week, is a very popular one as well. And both of those get hit me up pretty much weekly saying that they're running into
the limits.
The limits. And so some other things we're thinking about launching are we want to be able to offer webhooks. So right now you've got to have your app basically hitting REST every few seconds and saying, did anything happen on this address? Did anything happen? We want to be able to watch an address for you. And then anytime a new transaction happens or something, we can let you know. We also want to do a confidence score. So Emma was telling me years ago, I think for BlockCypher, was that who we used?
Yeah, BlockCypher is the service.
Yeah,
but they don't offer Bitcoin Cash support.
Yeah, and basically the idea was, how confident are you that this zero conf transaction will not be double spent? And so zero conf is like this sort of spectrum where if you're a merchant and you're accepting 40 cents for candy, you can be pretty sure that the amount of energy
would sending us candies.
Yes, the amount of energy it would take for somebody to double spend a 40 cent transaction is not going to be worth their time. So for a merchant, they can very trust as soon as they get the transaction. Now, if you're accepting millions of dollars, maybe your threshold is a little bit different because maybe it would be worth somebody's time. So he was telling me previously there was a service called BlockCypher which offered a score, a confidence score, and you could, as a merchant say, hey, this is 90% confident.
Oh, thank you.
But whenever the blocks got full, Bitcoin Core introduced what's called replace by fee, which basically allows you to double spend your transactions because they're going to be stuck in the mempool for the next 1,000 years. So pay a little bit more and you can bump yourself to the top.
Or pay a little bit more and you can double spend something.
Yeah. So they BlockCypher shut down that service, but of course we want to bring that service back, and then we think it'll be really solid once something like Avalanche gets in place. So
Well, they still offer that service for BTC, but it's completely unusable.
Replaced by fee, it's
because the confidence score is always zero whenever replaced by fee. Mm. So the way Bitcoin Cash works is that the full nodes, they honor the first seen, first mined rule. So the confidence score basically works that yes,
which is how Bitcoin used to work.
Yeah, you just ping different servers all over the world.
If you see it, you're good.
You ping a few in China, in Europe, and in North America, and Australia, and if all of them agree that this transaction was seen first, then you can be pretty confident that this is not going to be double spent. Mm-hmm. And Peter Eisen did some amazing research into this, and I think he came to the conclusion it was like after five seconds, you can be pretty sure that it will not be double spent. So 5 seconds is pretty good wait time to be sure that it will not be a double spend, and it can be even better, it can be improved.
I'm sorry, what is double spend?
It means that
if I give you money and then take it away before you've put it in your wallet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, why would you do that?
Exactly. That's exactly right. But there's a bunch of developers that out there that don't have any business sense, and they think that somehow that's a good idea.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I think that's an awful idea.
Yeah. Well, anybody trying to use it for commerce thinks it's a terrible idea,
but it's a
natural idea. It's a natural
conclusion when you want to. If you want to allow full blocks, then you kind of have to allow it. So our response
was that
we don't want full blocks.
So speaking of terrible ideas, I think we might have been on Twitch already, but this is kind of leading us into the end of the show. You told me that you just read a book recently.
Yes.
And finished it. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
What book did you read?
What's the English title?
What was the Japanese title?
世界シンプルな経済学.
So in English, it's called Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What terrible ideas did you learn about that lots of people believe and you found out were terrible that maybe you didn't realize were terrible until you read the book?
Oh, about infrastructure, like building bridges to create more work, more jobs for people. Mm-hmm. But actually, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's for the government.
But most people seem to think that those sorts of things are good ideas.
Yeah.
But you read the book.
No, we are, constantly grateful because our laws and all the infrastructure, but I didn't realize that.
Anything else to change your view of the world from reading this book?
Tax.
What did you think before and what do you think now?
Well, in the book, it says that taxation discourages people to work because their fair share of the salary they should get is like taken away as a name of tax, right?
Yeah. So it's interesting. So many people in the US, they think that if you raise taxes on cigarettes, fewer people will smoke. They're right. But these same people don't realize that if you raise taxes on working, fewer people will work. Mm-hmm. But
so I think that in the very beginning, in the preface, I'm about halfway through and I'm doing an audiobook, so I'm not quite as far as long as you, probably. But he says, the big lesson of the book is that most people don't think through the second or third order consequences of their actions. And then a couple ones that jumped out at me, because I definitely learned this growing up, and then we mentioned it on the show a couple weeks ago. For example, people say in World War II, when Europe or Japan were destroyed, that is what caused them to have so much economic activity. But he kind of points out it's really opportunity cost. So we don't know really what would have happened. And all that money that went to rebuilding didn't go to improving the society in some other ways. So I think that's the big takeaway from the book, that most people kind of don't see the second or third order effects of their decisions they make now.
You have to look not only at what's seen, but what's not seen, or what could have been. And so we see all these people now saying in the crypto coin space, see, Lightning Network's working, and this adoption, that's happening. Well, what would have happened if the blocks hadn't been allowed to come be full? Maybe Samsung would have had their crypto wallet 2 years ago. Maybe we would have had 1 million merchants online instead of 100,000 accepting it already. Maybe we would have had mass adoption already. And I think a really strong case can be made that we'd have way more adoption today than we do if the blocks hadn't been allowed to become full.
Sure. Analogy I like to use is think about the mobile revolution. So, whenever I first moved to Silicon Valley and I first started working in tech, it was around 2009, 2010, and that was when so many new things were emerging. And to me, I focused on mobile and HTML5 because I was a web developer, but that's also when the blockchain happened. And so, think about mobile adoption from 2009 to 2019. It's just gone outrageous. The blockchain or Bitcoin adoption should have really been the same, and it has been slowed down specifically by either poor decisions or, manufactured decisions that really did slow down one of the most important revolutions in all of human history.
Well put. So I guess that brings us, unless there's anything you guys want to cover, or
Anything else?
Well, we have the Bitcoin May.
That's right.
The Bitcoin Cash May
network upgrade. Go for it, guys.
May
15th, or what was the date for that?
So the deadline was February 15th.
No, the actual upgrade is
the actual
block
update is May 15th.
Okay.
And we get a few new things coming. So we get Schnorr signatures, mm-hmm. which like
enables Lightning Network usages on Bitcoin Cash.
If you've been following our Bitcoin and the core fanboys for years, they love talking about Schnorr signatures.
Bitcoin Cash gets it first.
Bitcoin Cash gets it first.
And our Lightning Network will, in theory, work better. So, you know, I've thought about this a lot. So really, you know, the Lightning Network is absolutely a horrible user experience. We all know this. It's interesting to me that in the same way Bitcoin Cash proved that simply by scaling the blocks, we can in fact have worldwide transactions that remain incredibly cheap. And we saw this during the stress test. So if you remember, we've done a couple stress tests. The first one we did last September, you can go to fork.lol transactions and you can see the number of transactions and how much we pay. And because today there's not that many Bitcoin Cash transactions and some wallets charge one Satoshi per byte and some charge more, the fees are very variant. But whenever you scale out the transactions to the whole planet scale, because most wallets will do it properly, the fees drop down to one Satoshi per byte and flatline. So we proved that with data, and now we're going to show also that layer two solutions like Lightning Network work better with larger blocks because you have to open and close channels and fund channels. And in Bitcoin Cash, you can be sure that your next transaction is going to be in the block and that it's going to be incredibly inexpensive. So imagine a scenario like you have 100,000 Internet of Things devices and you want to shuffle one Satoshi back and forth between all these machines. That's a valid Lightning use case. It'll work better on
Bitcoin Cash?
Yeah, so anything that BTC can do, Bitcoin Cash can do better. And I know that's going to be inflammatory to people, but it really is true.
I think that's the quote for the episode. Anything BTC can do, BCH can do better. It's true. It's not just hyperbole.
Why so many people believe in BCH?
Because of all the hard work that people like myself and Emil and others did, spreading Bitcoin adoption in the early days as money. And then a bunch of people managed to use censorship to hijack the entire project. Mm-hmm. And now everybody thinks that BTC is the Bitcoin that became popular to begin with, but
I meant BTC.
Because people get blinded by branding. Yeah. People don't appreciate what real value is.
Because everybody tells me, you should buy BTC.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's going to go up, right? And maybe it's going to hit a million. Yeah.
But ask them why.
People tend to stick with what they know. And some people are not very comfortable getting out of their comfort zone. And they just want to stick with what they know.
And also there's like an adoption curve, which you can go on. It's like a bell curve. And there's like the innovators, the early adopters, the everybody else, the laggards, and then people who never get on board. And basically most of the people are, you know, in the middle of the bell curve. And they're not tech-centric. They don't know the difference between Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. So to them, what they think of when they say Bitcoin is Bitcoin Cash. They think of, oh, wow, international or, you know, like
fast,
peer-to-peer cash.
Cheap, reliable payments.
Yeah, like when Elon says, yeah, the Bitcoin model is amazing. What he's talking about,
Bitcoin
most likely,
cash.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, he's talking about peer-to-peer electronic cash for the world. That's amazing. So I think just most people don't understand what BTC is. It's a branding play. They
stole the brand.
They stole the brand.
And they're intentionally doing this. They're intentionally... They're intentionally pretending that Bitcoin Cash doesn't exist. That's why they keep insisting calling it Bcash and Btrash and all that.
Yep.
Because they don't want to admit that this is a legitimate form of Bitcoin. Yeah.
Mm. Bitcoin Cash has the same pedigree as Bitcoin Core. We both go back to the Genesis block, and most of the brain trust that helped make Bitcoin what it is today are now working. Peter Risen, Andrew Stone, Roger.
Gavin Andreessen.
Yeah, so many people are working on Bitcoin Cash. So the other one we see here is...
So if you're a developer out there, what's the best social media group to plug into? Like a Slack channel or a Telegram?
Somebody actually mentioned about our Discord channel. We have a Discord channel now with 450 developers on it.
I think it was 400 last week.
Yeah, it's
growing
every week.
So we had 50 more people to the Discord channel.
It's super active. We'll put the link below. It's genia.us, so genius.com/cashdev. But of course, we'll put the link below. Yeah. The other thing is SegWit recovery transactions. So basically, whenever the fork happened between BTC and BCH, before we had the cash address format especially, this was a problem. When we were sharing the legacy address format, a lot of people sent coins to SegWit addresses and they were non-recoverable. So I know a good example of this. I know a developer who lives in Venezuela, and he did $800 worth of work. This was right after the fork of BTC BCH, and the person paid him and sent it to a SegWit address, and lost all $800. And he's in Venezuela.
Venezuela, that's like a year salary in Venezuela.
Yeah, so that's the perfect example. So I don't know. I don't know how this is working under the hood technically, but basically this will allow the recovery. I believe though miners still have to do it though. I don't know how much.
So you will need help from a miner.
We have a mining pool at Bitcoin.com.
Bitcoin.com. We plan to offer this service and. I think BTC.com, they already offered this service, or they did offer this service when it was still possible. Mm-hmm. So you cannot recover SegWit addresses right now because of the CleanStack rule that was introduced in the last hard fork. And the developers got some pushbacks for that, and they listened, and they decided, okay, let's put it back in. Let's fix that so people can recover SegWit coins.
Okay. Yeah, and then I have here 3 points about the roadmap. So. We have the link here. We'll drop it below. The Bitcoin Cash org, which is ABC, but there's multiple implementations of Bitcoin Cash. The roadmap is really, really compelling. And the place it ends, they have like this three-pronged roadmap. And if you look at the bottom, the last points are 50 transactions a day for 10 billion people. And I think there are two points which need to be
50 transactions a day for 10 billion people on chain.
Right. Yeah. And that should
enable plus Lightning Network, plus Layer 2, plus all your other token stuff
smart
happening.
Contracts. Yeah. So that should enable exactly smart contracts, tokens, worldwide commerce, Internet of Things.
Everything. Yeah.
And I think the remaining points they have to get done there are the Merkleix data structure and the variable block size. And then the next one is secure within 3 seconds, transaction fees low forever. So what's happening here is in combination with, so right now, you go pay one Satoshi per byte to send out your transaction. Most transactions are around 200 bytes. It's about a 30th of a penny. But when Bitcoin Cash goes to the moon, a single Satoshi will be worth much more than what it is today. So what's going to happen then? The fees are going to go up and it won't seem super cheap. So,
and got a solution for that too.
Yeah, so sub Satoshi fees. And then Avalanche, or pre-consensus, basically, however it ends up looking. So secure within 3 seconds, transaction fees low forever. And then the last one is...
Currently, it's secure within 3 seconds the way they have it designed. They think they can push that to under a second.
Right. So. Yeah, and keep in mind, Peter Thiel says in his book, 0 to 1, that if you want to have a real paradigm shift, you need something that's an order of magnitude better, 10x or more. And today, Ethereum, which they deserve credit for their work, it takes around 15 to 17 seconds to get into a block. So if Bitcoin Cash transactions can be cleared, I think is the term we came up with.
Less than 1.5 seconds, we have a 10x improvement.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And then the last one is just token economy, all classes of assets traded on the blockchain. And you know how I feel about the Tocambrian explosion. Speaking of which, I did a talk in Brisbane, Australia last week, remotely from Tokyo with Hayden from CoinSpice.
Yeah, thank you, Hayden, for being just such an awesome promoter in the space and great guy all around.
Yeah, so they posted that video today, my talk about the Tocambrian explosion as well. So that's very exciting. So yeah, the roadmap for Bitcoin ABC is just so incredibly compelling, and it really is worldwide cash for the entire planet. And then we get to build everything else on top of that, like tokens and smart contracts and Layer 2.
Well, this is the roadmap for Bitcoin Cash. So I'm sitting in on the developer meetings when I can. And we got people represented from all the different clients, and it feels like the development group is growing and growing, and we're getting more really talented developers working on the Bitcoin Cash protocol. So I see great things coming for Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, there were actually two more points I just remembered that Omri had mentioned in the last talk, which Emma wasn't a part of. I presume it was too early here in Tokyo or something. right now, people, we hear about this every single day on Badger. There's like a 25 unconfirmed chained transaction limit. And people really love Badger, and they really love sites like Satoshi Dice and Satoshi Stack. Thank you to that team for their amazing work. And so people will just go and play. It's really easy to click the button 25 times before the next So just the other day, I got an email and two tweets. So it's something people deal with every day. We're updating Badger to have a better error message. And then when you click the little modal that pops up, we're going to drop you into an FAQ page on badger.bitcoin.com so that we can clear that up. But Omri had mentioned that that's going to be removed. They didn't get it done this particular round, but something like November. I actually dug into the ABC code base, and I was able to find in 2015, it was lowered to like 100 unconfirmed with 1,000 descendants. Is that right? Or And then anyway, like 3 months later, they made it 25. So the point is unwinding that.
Yeah, and the reason why they made it 25 is because you currently have the feature of
child pays for parent fee. It makes the calculation way too hard for that.
But that feature, that's a BTC feature. And it only makes sense when the blocks are full. So we don't really need that. And I've been talking with Omri and a couple of developers that can work on it. So unfortunately, we really tried to find someone that could make it in time before the deadline for this hard fork. The deadline was February 15th.
You don't want to submit stuff after the deadline and claim to we're going to fork the entire network if they don't.
Yeah, so like we want to make make the network upgrades
and then sue all the developers
as
with it too.
Yeah. So the deadline is like 3 months before the fork. No changes can be made. So we just have to wait until
Calvin?
Certainly not.
And so yeah.
For those that don't know, that's what happened the last time around. So like Calvin Ayer is like suing a bunch of like open source software developers, or an entity he's affiliated with, and anyhow, it's a bit of a mess. So here at Bitcoin.com, we don't believe in suing open source software developers for writing code.
Right. So, yeah. And then the other exciting one that did.
I'm mad about it because I'm the one writing the check to defend all the developers.
Yeah, so. Just respect to Roger for that.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. And then the other one is the 100 kilobyte limit for transactions. So today, a Bitcoin Cash transaction has to be 100 KB or less. And I believe, off the top of my head, that's like 500 inputs and maybe 475 outputs or any of those variations. And, you know, in theory, that's pretty powerful already. You know, as a merchant, you can imagine paying, or as an employee, for example, paying out to 500 people all at once. But that's going to be removed. Maybe, you know, is there a new limit, or how's that going to work?
I don't think it's included
in
this.
Yet, right?
It's
not in this one, but it's in the next one.
But it's actually, it's not a hard rule, per se. So a miner is allowed to include a transaction up to 1 megabyte if they want to.
Got it.
But it will not be broadcasted to the network if it's more than 100 kilobytes currently.
Yeah.
But that's still a pretty big transaction.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's probably a pretty good place to end it with a few comments from our listeners. If you have comments you want us to read next week, put it down below. And we'll do it unless we have anything live from Twitch. But we didn't announce that in advance anyhow. So Larry Robert says,
nice content. Very educative video. I've always been looking for what to invest in for some time now.
So what should you invest in?
BCH.
Please.
Please, chocolates.
Yeah, buy some chocolate. Invest in some chocolate for us, right?
So how many BCH have you received in total?
We'd have to ask. I think Makoto has access to that wallet, so we'd have to check. So I don't think we're up to one BCH yet, but maybe a quarter of a BCH worth of candy's been sold. So anyhow, Markson says, love your passion, good work. How can I get in touch about becoming a BCH merchant? I am in Tokyo. Thanks.
Cool.
Go over to bitcoin.com/merchant-solutions, and we have all the information for you. Or just download the bitcoin.com wallet, and you can even use that. We'll make a tutorial video on that soon. I made one once. And
thank you
to whoever's out there on Twitch sending us more candy.
My prayers have been answered.
And who wants to read the next one there from Steven?
I can take it. So great episode. I love hearing about all the new development for BCH.
I think that sense to you guys there too. Yep. Yeah. So mm-hmm.
And it's just going to accelerate because there's a network effect. So
yeah, went from
cool
400
stuff
to 450. Like that's more than a 10% increase in just 1 week.
Yeah,
right? It doesn't
absolutely
take too many weeks of that to happen before we have a giant army of people developing useful tools and products for the entire world based on Bitcoin Cash.
Someone mentioned a really fun thing this week. So like this week the price went up a lot in one day, and like someone mentioned in one of the BCH channels that price rallies and everyone is quiet because everyone's just busy building things.
Mm-hmm. Us too, right?
Yeah, instead of like going on like Reddit and just celebrating it, we just busy.
And the price spike also caused the BTC fees to raise pretty high. I think it was maybe like 35 or 50 cents or something at one point. So, you know.
Not as high as the, you know, people like Adam Back and Turtamister. They want to go to $100 or even $1,000 per transaction. Like, what la-la land are these people living in? Mm-hmm. People are going to use something else.
Absolutely.
So.
Substitute goods, right?
Substitute goods, that's right. Someone's been paying attention. So.
So I'll take the next one. Is it possible for you to post the link to the Discord channel? I'd love to join and stay up to date on the latest developments. Oh, it's 451, it sounds like. We'll drop the link below.
And then here.
Feed. Hi, Roger and Gabriel. Gabriel, here's a question. How feasible would it be to set up some machine like your candy one or the chickens one, streaming 24/7 to feed hungry people in places where that's needed? For example, Venezuela. I'm sure there must be some legal, technical, and security hurdles to figure out, but if those could be solved, it could be a really successful endeavor and great publicity for BCH. Thoughts?
Interesting idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
The only thing I can see is a troll pushing back saying you're only feeding them, like, you know, you're making people wait till they basically get paid to get feed.
Trolls are always going
to
troll, so I think
no matter what you do, right?
And build useful things for the world, and if you want to hate on it, then
ignore
they can be
them
miserable and hate in their mom's basement while we build tools that are useful for the world. So,
And the thing is, like, don't wait for me or Gabriel or Emil or Asuka to do it. Go out there and do it yourself. You can buy the candy machine at iozeta.com, I think.
Yeah,
iozeta.com. Yeah, iozeta.com, and go make it happen. Like, don't wait for somebody else to do things in life. Go out there and do it yourself and make it happen. If you want something done, go do it yourself.
So. Yeah, and speaking of that, so I remember Lorian Gamaroff from Sent Me Wallet a few years ago gave a TED Talk because he grew up in Africa, and so, you know, he knows firsthand about villages which have trouble getting power and water. And I remember the very first time I ever saw him talk was a TED Talk where he set up like an electric generator which basically would turn on lights if you sent it a BTC payment.
Yeah.
So similar idea. Yeah,
go out there and build it.
Yes.
And go out there and buy us some more games, too. Thank you.
So, real quick, this next one says, well done, Gabriel Cardano. I just want to be clear.
Cardano.
My name is actually Cardano.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Cardano is another cryptocurrency out there.
My name is actually Cardona. It's not Cardano.
So confusing.
You can tell this guy's deep into crypto.
Yeah.
So Cardano is my last name.
Yes.
Anyhow, it says, I'll join the Bitcoin.com team. You are literally building the future of money. I'm really excited about Cash Shuffle, Cash ID, Let's Trade.cash, tokens, and Schnorr signatures. Mm-hmm. When can we expect cash account support in the Bitcoin.com wallet? And how about integrating Cointech service in the Bitcoin.com wallet? CryptoSing, buy, spend, replace. Like, wow, CryptoSing's paying attention. Mm-hmm. Thank you, CryptoSing. We want all those things. We like all those things. We're busy working to make them all happen. Yeah. I think we can talk a little bit more about the roadmap for Badger Wallet and the main Bitcoin.com wallet. The idea is to have those converge in terms of like feature set in the future. And all those things you mentioned we like to have in there. I think there's another major update due for our wallet. I thought it was this week, or I don't know. We'll have Alfonso, our wallet lead, on the show at some point to talk about it, or have him do a separate video with an update of all the awesome stuff we have going so people can know about that. But all of it's coming as soon as we can. It's just a lot of work, and we need our wallet's open source. Please help us. Anybody head on over to GitHub and take a look at our wallet, and, you know, we'd love some additional help there. So, good place to end it. Get involved. Yep. To quote Gavin Andreessen, for those that don't know who he is, he's literally the person that Satoshi Nakamoto turned the project over to when he left. He said something along the lines of, like, if you see, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for permission for someone to do something? If you need something that's doing, go out there and do it. And that's a paraphrasing of what he said, but it was a great quote, and it's true. If you see something that needs doing, go out there and do it and make the world a better place. And thanks to Coinbase for really being on the ball there, and go and download and try out the new Coinbase wallet as well. Because here at Bitcoin.com, we support anything that works. And 50 cent or $50 fees or something that you don't know what the fee is going to be from 1 week to the next or even 1 hour to the next, that doesn't work. So that's why we love Bitcoin Cash, because it works, and we love anything that works. So head on over to Bitcoin.com to learn more, and we'll see everybody next week. Thank you all.
Bye.
Thank you.